I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios Courtney Yasminet. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you, Christine. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you back. And you, I think it was a couple of years ago that you were here, and it was a Bob Dylan-related event, as I recall.
Uh-huh. That sounds right.
And now you're playing at the Duluth Armory Music Fest. That's happening in Leif Erickson Park, which is this Sunday. And it looks like it starts at 3 o'clock, goes throughout the afternoon and evening. What time are you playing?
I play between 7 and 9:30. I think it's like 7:45 to 9:15, somewhere in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a big event to celebrate the historic Duluth Armory's 100th birthday. And if you want more info on that, it's on Facebook, an event on Facebook, Duluth Armory Music Fest. Well, you've been pretty busy since you were last here. You have moved to New York City, and you put out a new album, and we're going to talk about all of that. But why don't we start with a song? What do you want to start with here?
Okay, great. I'm going to play a song called Stupid With Your Love. Hey, hey, baby, can't you see you got what you need in me? I love the way you move, and I'll do anything to keep it coming. I'm going stupid with your love. I'm going stupid with your love. Apologize 100 times, even when the fault ain't mine. Lie to you, say anything to keep you happy, just to keep you happy. I'm going stupid with your love. I've gone 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 stupid with your love. Don't go leave me out in the cold. When we fight, I feel so alone. I've gone stupid. I've gone stupid.
That's Courtney Yasminet, live from Studio A, and Stupid With Your Love. And that one can be found on her new album, Red Letter Day, and also on the unplugged version of that. You've got two versions. We're going to talk about that, but before that, I want to ask you about your move to New York City. Now, last time you were here, you talked about how you ended up in Minnesota. You had some family issues down in Chicago. You kind of fled those, spent your last year of high school at your grandpa's cabin up north, graduated from Tower High School, went down to the cities for school. I'm just giving the whole, so you ended up spending quite a bit of time in Minnesota because of all of that. But you recently, how long ago did you move to New York?
Last summer. I got an apartment there with the idea to make a record there with a guy named Charlie Drayton, who I was really excited about getting to work with again. I had worked with him once before. So I kind of got this idea about doing more national and international touring. I had already done some European touring and stuff like that. And having this sort of shift to New York just seemed like a positive way to kind of shake things up and sort of start a new era musically for myself. And what's really happened in the year is that I've only come to appreciate Minnesota even more. And I still have my apartment. I'll probably have it. I've renewed the lease for another year. But in the process, I've been invited, I think, more times this year than any other year to perform in Duluth, for example, to be part of the different Dylan tributes and do Dylan songs. And I've also only become more appreciative of all the wonderful guys I've worked with in Minneapolis. And so my touring band is still our Minneapolis-based band. I've been noticing that other people have been saying things that I like. Here's something that someone else has written about me that says, Chicago-born, Minneapolis-made, NYC-based. And I'm totally cool with that, you know. That I mean, I did make my career in Minneapolis and in Minnesota, and my persona has sort of come out of being like from the school of Bob Dylan, you know. That's where my head was at and still is.
Mm-hmm. Even though you were kind of late coming to the music of Bob Dylan, you talked about that last time you were
right
here.
Right,
you didn't weren't introduced to it till you actually moved to Minnesota.
Right, although when I moved here I was only 17, so
right.
I was still really young.
Yeah, but right, that's true. So you did kind of pick it up pretty fairly young.
Yeah, then. Yeah.
So how did the album go? Was it what you expected when you did the album out there? Was that a good experience for you?
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. We, in order to bring my guys to New York, which was a great experience for them and for me, and then also all of us get to work with some of these New York players, we decided to keep it really open-ended, which I had never done before. I had always written all the songs and been really careful about having everything rehearsed in advance. And the only way we were all going to really get to play together and make it a collaboration was if we waited until the studio time was set. So we had these 8 days in the studio exactly a year ago, last year during Labor Day. We had these 8 days, which is a long time, but it's a very short time actually to make a full-length album, especially if you don't have the songs written yet. So I had like kernels of ideas. I actually had 70 little snippet recordings that I had done. And then I narrowed that down with Rob Genetic, the longtime producer who I still worked with on this record. We narrowed it down to like 20. And then when we got to New York, it was so inspiring, honestly, to be there. And the energy is really, you know, and different geographies have their energies. And a lot of the songs just didn't seem like, you know, this isn't going to come out on a New York record. I don't know. Some you get things in your head about, well, this doesn't seem very New York-y. So a lot of things got thrown out, and I ended up staying up all night. I think they were up drinking, and I was up frantically writing songs that I felt fit this exciting moment we were having. And they helped, and we ended up getting these great songs. I they're not songs I would have written at home in my bedroom, that's for darn sure.
Mm-hmm. So were you saying that that's a really different way? Normally you would have had all the songs ready to go and
yep.
And boom, here guys, this is what we're going to do.
Yep. And they would have been written in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Which my bedroom is a very different vibe from the middle of New York City in a recording studio with a whole bunch of testosterone around me. You know what I mean? It's very, very different
feel.
Well,
that's really fun that you could, you know, because you've been doing this, you know, you've had how many albums out have you had?
Yeah, this is my sixth album.
Okay, yeah.
I've recorded for 10 years.
Yeah, so you've been doing this for a while, so it's kind of fun that you can switch things up and that it works out. Was it kind of nerve-wracking?
Yeah, it was extremely, you know, trial by fire kind of thing. And it was very invigorating to see, you know, it's great to see yourself under pressure and see what you can accomplish. And I think it's really helped me believe in myself as a musician, because you know, there's no smoke and mirrors when you're in a room with a whole bunch of very professional people, also being the only woman in the room. And you know, if it's all kind of crappy drivel, they'll be the first ones to tell you. So you know, you're either actually doing it or you're actually not. You know, there's no sort of faking it.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually has made me feel really good about myself as a musician, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to do the acoustic album, which I see that was done in Minneapolis, and it's kind of an EP of tunes unplugged from Red Letter Day, right?
Yeah. So we've been doing these radio promo tours. One of the fun things about being in New York is that I've been able to get some national and international help in the industry, which was harder to get, I think, in Minneapolis, just because that would have been more like regional help. So we got this help to do these radio promo tours. And as we were just saying, the radio stations have small rooms and you don't necessarily need to bring your full band. So Rob Genetic, the producer, who also has been the drummer in the touring band for a long time, he said, well, I'll go with you and we'll do these radio interviews and small performances where we talk about the making of Red Letter Day. And it was great because he was there as the producer. And we started doing just these little duo performances. And some of the stations, we did the first tour in June of this year to promote the Red Letter Day record. And some of the stations started saying, well, can you give us recordings the way you did it in the studio? Because we really, it fits our format better, would be, you know, one of the typical requests. So when we got back from that first tour, Rob and I made these unplugged recordings. And to everyone's surprise, we all really like them a lot. And they are quite different, but the CD that you have is 5 songs. There's going to be a little red vinyl 7-inch that's 4 of the songs, 2 on each side. And I wouldn't have done any of that. It all sort of came together just by you know, the coincidence of the circumstances, but they're such organic little recordings. And then it felt sort of retro, like vinyl. And then I got the idea about, you know, it's all just kind of fallen into place as I've gone along with these. But I'm enjoying them a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you were saying before we came on the air, we were talking about the Unplugged album, and you were saying that it kind of lets your songwriting shine, and you really like that. As a songwriter, because when you're doing the rock and roll, you're rocking, and that's kind of the main focus. But with the acoustic, it's the songwriting. So tell me about that.
I think like we've gone to South by Southwest the past 2 years in a row, and I think from doing things like that, where I brought a very polished performance, I brought like a showcase set of my best work. And very, like, beautifully timed with segues from one song to the next. And everybody knew exactly what their parts were. And it sounded very much like a song on the radio or like, humbly, we were trying to sound as much as we could, like a very polished commercial recording. And after doing that now, and I got good at it, I started realizing that sometimes people can look up at the stage when you're doing that. And they don't, it doesn't necessarily register that it's original music that's unique and sort of brand new and happening in the moment. It almost seems sort of, I don't know, just like it's already boxed up or something. And like maybe like you're watching a cover band, a band playing other people's songs on the radio or something, because it's so polished. So I started getting this idea that, I was connecting in a really fun way, a different way, with the audience when I'm just presenting the song. And it's very obvious. I think it becomes more obvious when you look up at the stage, when it's more stripped down, that I'm a female songwriter instead of that I'm just like a glamorous entertainer.
And do you think that people might have the misconception that maybe, you know, you're one of the guys is the songwriter or something?
Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's where we're going with this.
Right. Is, yeah. And you're just the singer.
I think there have been those. I don't, you know, you don't want to name names, but I think in the history of rock and roll, there have been a lot of women where, in fact, that was probably the case. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case. So, you know, this is as sort of me reclaiming, like, well, wait a minute, where did this all come from? You know, not in any way to discredit the joy of playing with great musicians and putting on a polished show. I mean, it's extremely gratifying, you know.
Well, and it must be fun to have both options. You get to do both.
Yeah.
Depending on the circumstances.
Exactly.
Well, let's hear another unpolished version of one of your songs. What do you want to do next?
So this song is called Cleaning Crew. This past year, to get the apartment in New York and to find money for touring, I sold the house that I had lived in for many years. And this song is about how when you sell a house now, they send in the staging people, and I called it cleaning crew. Clean it up. Clean it up right now. Clean it up. Clean it up right, yeah. Clean it up. Clean it up right now. Clean it up. Clean it up right, yeah. Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Clean it up right, say. Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Clean it up right now. Brought a crew to my house the other day. Had the nerve to say I wasn't living right. Wanna make it pretty, make it clean, yeah. Fix it up, make it all right now. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Clean it up right, say. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Clean it up right now. If I throw you a bone, bet you'll pick it clean. Every word we said, everything we ever seen. Running out of time to finally get it right. Hold it up to the bright light, make it right. Time, gotta say goodbye, get it undone. Clean it up, clean it up right now. Clean it up, clean it up right, yeah. Clean it up, clean it up right now. Clean it up right, yeah. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Clean it up right, say. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Clean it up right now. Not gonna clean it up for anyone. Not gonna clean it up for
That's Courtney Yasmine live from Studio A. And I'm pretty sure nobody has ever written a song, performed a song in the studio about that before. I love that because that is kind of a moment where you're seeing yourself through somebody else's eyes when you know, the person who wants to sell your house is like, oh, no, this is never going to sell.
Right. Right. Yes, exactly. My own mom came over to help. And that was too much for me. I, the girl who ran away from home when I was 17, now my mom moved to Minneapolis, where I have been living all these years. And I have joked many times, I think even on the radio, that when you run away from home, the rules are that the person you ran away from does not get to follow you.
Well, then you ran away to New York. So
exactly.
Apparently, yeah, exactly. Maybe mom's going to be your new roommate.
So part of the reason I had to write the song is because my entire adolescence flashed before my eyes. And I literally did go up in my bedroom like a 15-year-old, locked myself in my room and wrote that song while they were cleaning.
Oh, that's really funny. That's really funny. You've got the album out, and so tell me about touring behind that. So when did the album actually come out?
Well, so right after we finished it a year ago, we went to Europe in October with sort of the initial recordings, and we had a couple extra songs that we weren't sure if they were going to be on or not, so we had kind of a preliminary release. The real Red Letter Day album came out this year in the spring. I guess I do want to say one more thing about the touring, which is that we're also, it's going to be Rob Genetic, the producer, who's playing drums, and Tom Woodling, who has joined us. Tom is in his 20s, and he has a really great background as a cellist working with electronic like pedals and with a, like a big arsenal of pedal stuff. He's going to be playing guitar with us, but he'll be doing like bass parts, guitar parts, and sort of atmospheric things that only a cellist would think of. And so we're touring now as a trio for this next kind of leg, so that we're really able to do both. You know, we're able to melt your face off, and we're also able to do a very sweet, small rendition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And tell me about some of the other songs on the album. We're going to hear one more in just a little bit here, but just tell me about how they turned. Like you said, you kind of wrote some of them on the spot. I'm assuming not all of them. You probably had some.
All right, I think I have one good thing to tell. There's a song on the record called "Change Your Mind." It's in the middle of the record. It's a slow, sad ballad. It's the only slow, sad ballad. And I think it's one of the best songs I've ever written, especially the second verse, I think, is one of the best things I've ever written. I like the way the melody soars, and I really like the words to that second verse. And the way that one happened is, like I said, I had these 70 little ideas that I brought to New York. I brought them on my phone, and I transferred them all to Rob's computer, and then he listened to them all, you know, to try to sort through a bunch of foolishness. That one was like a little Winnie the Pooh thing, because it was me walking my dog, and I had started singing the little sad part that becomes what I think is one of my best, most beautiful refrains ever. But I was just sort of like literally like humming that, and you can hear the dog's collar tags jingling, and I just like kept repeating this little sad like ooh. And when we got to New York, and like I said, some of the songs weren't working out, Rob said, you know, that one little thing that you do, the one with where you can hear the dog in the background, he said, have you ever made that one? Have you thought about making that one into a full song? And I said, no, that's just too sad, and I don't have anything to say about that. And he really pushed me, and that was one of the nights I stayed up all night in the hotel room and arrived the next morning with that. And even as we were doing it, I just felt like it to sort of reach the level of the sad moment that was very difficult for me. I don't like to be sad, and I don't like to sing sad, slow songs. And it was really gratifying to get it. I got it. And even as we were doing it that day, I kept changing the words and trying to get closer to the emotion of that, and I'm very pleased with that one.
Oh, okay. So is it hard for you to perform that one since you don't like, you know?
Right.
Because you have to kind of get back to that place, or?
I used to say when we first started doing that song, like last winter maybe, or just this spring, you know, I think I was saying to the audience, like we'd be at the Mercury Lounge, which was very rock club in New York that I've been really enjoying playing at. I would like, in the middle of the show, I'd say, it takes a lot of courage to play a slow song, especially at a rock club, and I'm going to do it. I have the courage, and I'm going to do this song right now. You know, I would say that to sort of set the stage. And also, I guess I'd sort of say it because when you start the slow song in the rock club, everyone does turn around and go outside to smoke a cigarette, you know, or get another drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you say that, then they sort of feel like, they feel guilty if they turn around and leave. So it was sort of setting them up as well as myself. But now I've kind of gotten to the point that I really believe in that one, and I don't say it anymore. I just kind of go, okay, here we go, you know, and just launch into it. But it's a more powerful song than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like drippy,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not drippy and boring.
Yeah.
It's kind of ballsy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we have time for one more. I don't know if you wanted to do that one or something else, or what did you want to do?
Well, we should do it.
All right, if you're game.
Nothing I can do to change your mind. Nothing I can say to make you mine. Ooh. Nothing I can do. the sadness in your eyes. Life's hard enough, you always say. Can't put each other along the way. Sorry won't make it up to you. Begging won't make it up to you. I stand alone without you. No one in this world without you. Nothing I can do to change your mind. Nothing I can say to make your mind. Ooh. Nothing I can do to make you stay. Nothing I can say to make you right. Ooh. Gone cold all alone. Every dream I had on my own. Not sure how I should go on. Lost my will, lost my song. Afraid to say I'm out of time. Don't trust my heart, don't trust my mind. Look in the mirror, see my eyes. Wonder how it all went dry. Change your mind. Nothing I can say to make you mine. Ooh. Nothing I can do to make you stay. Nothing I can say to make you right. Ooh. Ooh. Wake up feeling something's wrong. Then I remember now you're gone. Facing my pillow, feel the shame. Remember why you went away.
Courtney Yasmine, live from Studio A. Well, thanks for sharing that one with us. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Christine. Thank you.
And again, that's one from her Red Letter Day album. And is that on the unplugged version, too? No, that one's not.
No, okay. The other recording stands. It just stands for both, you know.
I suppose.
It's a really great recording.
Yeah.
I don't think I can top it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what's up next for you? You're going to keep performing, touring? And
yeah, we'll be, as we said, we'll be in Duluth on Sunday, and that'll be really, really fabulous. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a highlight for
me. Is that the trio, or is
that'll be the trio.
Okay.
And there will be some very rock moments, so I'm looking forward to that. And then we all, three of us, fly out the next day back to New York, where we're doing some... sessions that are like for video things in the city, and then we do like a week and a half of live shows and radio stuff and record store stuff up the coast, kind of into Maine, Vermont, and upstate New York.
Great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a nice time of year to be up there, too.
No kidding, yeah. Again, Courtney is going to be playing with the trio this Sunday at the Duluth Armory Music Fest in Leif Erikson Park. It starts at 3 o'clock, but you and your couple of guys are going to be playing at 7:45, you said?
At about 7:45. And I do want to say that everybody who's playing that day is fantastic. There are great artists.
Well, let me just, yeah. I can run them down for you. Lonnie Knight and Friends, Sarah Burton, Rich Madsen and Jermaine Gemberling, Jean LaFond and Amy Grillo, and local band The Boomchucks. So those are just
yeah. the artists. I think it's really going to be a great bill and a great concert, and I'm really honored to be part of it. And the people who are doing that stuff to save the Armory are just, you know, tireless Duluth citizens, you know, just really trying to do something for the greater good. And I'm always honored to be part of whatever they're doing.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it, Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Mike Nowitzki and Katie Rude. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.